He covers the conference, coached in the conference, and follows it and covers it for the Pac-12 networks. I don't know if he's here in Vegas or back in San Francisco, but I'm here in Vegas. That's Kevin O'Neill. Hey, Kevin.
How's it going? We are in San Francisco.
You and Yam back in San Francisco holding things down?
Yeah, we're trying. It's hard to do.
Well, keep Yam in line. That guy's a troublemaker, and I know that. It takes you and McLean to hold him in line, so please keep him in line.
It's hard. Don's actually there. He's doing the game right now.
I know. I'm sitting here doing my radio show just outside the doors. It's 70 degrees and sunny, so I'm kind of happy that I'm outside, not inside right now.
That sounds good. That sounds really good.
It's beautiful. I'll be inside calling the Utah game tomorrow. I just be curious. We've had a long discussion here in Salt Lake City about the season. They were picked eighth before the season. Larry's team was. They finished fourth. They had 10 new faces. They were close in some games. They didn't win anything big. But as you look at Utah's season as a whole, especially considering where their expectations were before the year, Kevin, how do you think Larry and his guys did this year?
I think they had a tremendously successful season. I've coached teams on two or three occasions when you had 10 or 11 new players. It's a huge challenge. I think they did a great job to finish fourth in the league. Is more than acceptable. It's very successful for them. And I think if they could get to the finals of the Pac-12 tournament, then they're in the NCAA conversation. At the very least, they're going to be a high NIT seed and then be able to go deep because, I mean, their team has gotten better. They've had some ups and downs, but I love their team.
I do too, and you know, with that being said, even if they don't get to the NCAAs, this is a team that brings everybody back next year except for Bonham, and to be able to play three or four games potentially in the NIT, you know this, Kevin, it pays dividends for this team, getting them a postseason experience when you're bringing back 10 or 12 guys next year.
You know what, Bill, it's not just the games you get in the NIT or NCAA, it's the practice time you get leading up to those games. It gives you I used to call it the postseason. You know, if you could get to the NCAA tournament or the NIT tournament, instead of your preseason getting ready for the season, you got a couple weeks of practice that really, really helps a team like Utah going forward. You're almost coaching for next year.
Kevin O'Neill with us from the Pac-12 Networks here on the Bill Riley Show. Most of the bracketology guys, and we had Jerry Palm on earlier, we had Lenardi on last week, most of them really believe, they're kind of like what you just said, if they get to the championship game, if they knock off Oregon, perhaps on Friday night, it gets you in the conversation, but it's still a long shot.
It is.
You know, yeah, and that's okay. I mean, we just talked about it. That's okay. How many teams do you think the league gets? Do you think it's four teams probably, with USC being that fourth team?
You know, I think USC and Cal both have work to do, and I think key for the fans of the Pac-12, watch what Iowa and Illinois do in their conference tournaments. Watch what Virginia Tech does and Wake Forest in their conference tournaments. So if either team, USC or Cal, gets to the semifinals, then I think they're in the NCAA tournament for sure. But if you fall short of that, you might have to count on some help from some other leagues and some other people.
Kevin, this is the old chicken and the egg argument. What's better for a conference, to get six, seven, eight teams in the league, but everybody done by the second weekend? Or is it better to be what maybe the Pac-12 is this year? You're not going to get as many teams in, but the teams you get in are going to be high-quality Final Four caliber teams.
Well, you have three superpower teams in the league. And then at the bottom of the league, there were a bunch of teams that had losing conference records. So it kind of put us in a position where, you know, even when you beat some of those teams at home, if the RPI of your opponents is so high that you drop off a little bit in your own RPI and your own rating, it kind of hurts. But I think having these three superpower teams, and looking forward, they're going to be superpower teams again next year, I think these three teams can all have a chance to go to the Final Four.
I asked Ted Robinson this question earlier in my show today. I'll ask you too. Which team do you think, if you're having to place that rather sizable Pac-12 network check down on a team going the furthest, is it UCLA, Oregon, or Arizona?
It's Oregon because of the fact that they have experience. They were in the Elite Eight last year. Both UCLA and Arizona, if you're up against Oregon in a big stage like a Pac-12 tournament final, there are some freshmen on your team. And for freshmen to play great, great basketball for 3 days, at the highest level is pretty hard. But it's going to be interesting to see how this goes, because any one of those three teams can win a national title.
No, I agree with you, and I agree with you, too, on Oregon. I like the way Dana's team play that kind of ferocious defense where it kind of becomes a frenzy where they got to get into a groove, yep, a little bit. And I think that kind of defense can offset a bad shooting day. Plus, they've got a guy. I always think teams have to have that guy, and Dylan Brooks is certainly that guy.
You're absolutely right. He's the best clutch player in the league. He's the toughest player in the league. And when you're in tight games on neutral floors, you need a guy that's not afraid to take big shots and make big shots at the end of games. And he's proven it more than anybody in the league this year. He's that guy.
Kevin O'Neill for a couple of more minutes here on the Bill Riley Show. I had Kyle Kuzma on the show earlier today on his way to practice out in Henderson. He got named first team all conference, averaged a double-double this year, had a really good year as a junior. I think he's still got a lot of room to improve, Kevin. I'm curious from a coaching standpoint, assuming Kyle decides to come back because he's not really being projected in many mock drafts right now, what kind of a ceiling would you see for him next year if he returns to Utah?
Well, next year he'll be a player of the year candidate if he comes back. I encourage all these guys, unless you're going to be a high first round pick, come back, put yourself in a position where you can, you know, maybe be a first round pick next year. The allure of the NBA is something that's, you know, difficult to not go for. But I would hope he comes back and tries to lead his team to a conference championship, because if he does come back, they're going to be in a conversation for being in the top two or three in the league.
I agree with you, and I point to an example, and Kyle can look at it himself. It was a teammate of his 2 years ago, DeLon Wright. 3 years ago, DeLon Wright could have come out and been a second-round pick, but he came back, yep, for his senior year and worked himself into a mid-round pick and made a lot more money, and he's in a good position right now with Toronto.
Get that guaranteed money. I mean, I advise all these guys, unless you're going to get guaranteed money, you got to go back. Occasionally it works out for second round picks, but not very often. And Kyle Kuzma's, you know, his trajectory over the last couple years tells everybody he's going to have a great senior year next year if he avoids injury, which everybody's a little bit of afraid of when they come back. But I couldn't be strong enough in telling him he needs to come back.
All right, we've got four games today. The ASU-Stanford game just got underway. Cal-Oregon State's the one Utah fans are keeping an eye on. CU-Wazoo, USC-Washington. Which lower seed has the best shot of being knocked off today? Who's on upset alert today here?
I think Stanford has a lower seed than ASU has a chance to win that game. The rest of the game should go by the bracket. I would think this first game of the day is going to be a great one. But after that, I think the higher seeds win those, no matter what.
I think so, too, and I would be shocked if Oregon State knocked off Cal. If Utah and Cal match up with a 4-5 matchup tomorrow night, it'll obviously be the third matchup of the season. The one in Berkeley was a classic. Utah blew their doors off. Cal looked disinterested on Thursday night, yeah, last week. But playing a team for a second time in 7 days, this time on a neutral court, let's play it forward and assume it's Cal-Utah tomorrow night, Kevin. What would you expect in that game?
You know, everybody says it's tough to beat a team three times. Statistics actually show that 70% of the time, the team that's won both games wins the third game. I think Utah wins that game and advances to the semis.
And there they await the team that's been their kryptonite since they joined the conference. That's Oregon. I think Larry's only beaten Dana one time, and Oregon's beaten them nine straight.
Well, Oregon's beaten a lot of teams nine straight. And if you're Utah and you get to that position, if you can pull the upset of Oregon, you got a chance to get an NCAA tournament bid. So both teams will be playing for an awful lot if it gets to that point.
Fondest conference tournament memory for Kevin O'Neill was what? In which conference?
Oh, boy, I'm trying to think. I don't know. When I was playing in the old Great Midwest when I was at Marquette,
yeah,
we had some great finals games against Bob Huggins' Cincinnati teams. I think one of them was a double overtime game. We ended up losing, but it was a great game. Those, that league, we only had six teams in that league, and 3 years in a row, everybody was in the top 25 every week of the season almost. Those were some great finals matches with Cincinnati.
God, I forgot the Great Midwest. That was a thing. How long was that a conference, Kevin? 5 or 6 years? Was it that long?
Yeah, it was. It was 5 or 6 years. And I only had 16, so you played a ton of non-conference games. And you played, 10 league games, and then you played the tournament. It was great.
Yeah. Hey, tell Yam I said hello. Enjoy it back in San Francisco, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
Take care. Kevin O'Neill.